So as we continue to look at the Holy Habits series, we're on our last one, and we're looking at making more disciples. And this passage, the Great Commission, which lots of us will have heard lots of times, lots of us will know very well, and yet lots of times we forget about it. I wonder how good we are at following rules. So we come across rules and regulations every day, don't we? All day long. There's rules of the road, things like speed limits and no left turns, stop, no overtaking. Now, I'm sure if I was tested, I would probably not be able to pass the test about the driving highway code bit of the driving test. But we do have those rules to follow as we drive on the road. And the incentive is, of course, that we don't really want to have any points on our licence. If we're in employment of any type, we find we've got certain rules and regulations to follow there as well. Timekeeping, the work to be done, holidays that can and can't be taken. And there's probably unwritten rules as well. And then there's the rules of the country that we live in. Laws that cover the whole of our life, really. Laws that are being added to each year. Things like a minimum wage and the standards for children's seat belts, car seats. There's also laws that have been in existence for so long that they're absolutely obsolete. It is illegal to wear armour in Parliament. Not sure how many of us are going to fall foul of that at the moment. So rules, regulations, laws, written, unwritten, known, unknown. Life can be fraught at times. And the chances are that we are all guilty of breaking a few every now and then. And ignorance of the law actually isn't helpful, and it won't stand you in very good stead. However, as Christians, we also have rules and regulations and commands to follow. And Jesus summed them up as loving God and loving our neighbour. But actually, large amounts of the Bible, the rules and the commands, have influenced the law of the land as well. But this reading from the end of Matthew's Gospel, the Great Commission, is a command for each one of us to follow. We're called to go and make disciples of all nations. Go and make disciples of all nations. Now, Jesus' love for us and his Holy Spirit working in us will give us a passion, will give us a desire to do his will. And that's good, because this isn't just a suggestion that Jesus has given. This is a command. It is an instruction. Jesus was telling his disciples to pass this down the generations, and so that includes us. The disciples were under the authority of Jesus. They were to make more disciples. They were to baptize. They were to teach. This final command that Jesus has given to his disciples has a slightly wider remit than when he was on earth working with his disciples, because it now includes making disciples from all nations, not just Jews, but the Gentiles, everyone, all people. So it's a wider remit. But also, Jesus has given a promise. He's given a promise that he would be with them always. Up until this point, Jesus had been with his disciples physically as they'd gone around teaching. He'd taught, he'd guided them, he'd sent them out. But now, with the ascension, he would be with each one of them at all times through the power of the Holy Spirit. And although this was a command, although it was a command to Jesus' disciples and therefore to us, it was also a response. It was a response to these disciples meeting with the risen Christ. This was Jesus who had been crucified. He had been dead. And now he was alive again. He'd been with the disciples for the last 40 days. This was Jesus, God with us, who would now be ascending to heaven. And because of their meeting with the risen Christ, those disciples were consumed with a passion to worship him and to go and to tell others. And we only have to read into Acts as we see those new disciples going out, as we see that first sermon preached where 3,000 came to know the Lord Jesus. So does this passion, is this feeling in our heart, this desire to go and tell people, is that in our hearts? Does it apply to us? Well, we can ask God to make sure it does apply to us. As we experience Jesus for ourselves, as we know and as we believe and as we trust in his death, his resurrection, and his love for each one of us. We've been singing about his love for us. He has set us free. And we can pray and ask God to just develop that passion and that longing that we have to go and to tell others and to share the good news. We're commanded to go. And we're also commanded to baptize and to teach. So we're involved in the whole discipleship, not just telling the good news, but nurturing and discipling people. And it's an ongoing process, and we're part of it. We're part of becoming more Christ-like as we lead others to trust in Jesus. That's the remit. And it's not easy, is it? Paul reminds us in Romans, we're called to share the gospel. How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? How can they believe in the one they have not heard of? Unless we tell people, they may not know about Jesus. Unless we show people, they may not see God's love. We're also told in 1 Peter, be prepared, always be prepared, to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. So that's the challenge, to share, to go, to make disciples. So how do we respond? I'm sure in our hearts, every single one of us wants to tell people. And yet, when it actually comes to it, we often find we've got cold feet. So how do we respond? So just as a starter, really, to share the good news, we do need to make sure that we have a living relationship with God. We do need to make sure that we spend time with God as we pray, as we read the Bible, as we worship, as we listen to his voice, as we give our life to him. And as we listen to God's voice, the Holy Spirit will prompt us. The Holy Spirit will prompt us to share the good news. He will equip us. He will be with us. We are called to share that good news. We all have a part to play. And we can be confident. We can be confident that the Holy Spirit will be with us, developing the fruit of the Spirit, giving us the gifts that we need. It is often easy, isn't it, to feel inadequate or think we don't know what to say or know that we lack the courage. But if God calls us to be in a place or to be with particular people, he will equip us. He will give us all that we need to share that good news. We may not see the whole picture, but if we know God's prompting us, we do need to be obedient. We do need to do what he's calling us to. And God will be using us. So to be fair, God doesn't actually call everybody to go physically to other countries or other nations. But he does call some, and we can read that in, say, something like the Church Mission Society, where there's lots and lots of people who are called by God to serve him in other countries, telling the good news in words and in deeds, in actions, in setting up communities and organisations. And God does call people to this country as well. We think of the work that Michael's doing in this patch, in this area around here with these churches, as he works with people, Middle Eastern people. But mainly, you'll be pleased to know, God calls us to work where he's placed us. He's called us to have some impact on the people that we come into contact with on a regular basis. We are called to share our faith at work. We're called to share our faith at school, in our leisure time, in our neighbourhood, in every situation that we find ourselves in. In these places, we're called to show what Jesus looks like. Not just in what we say, but in how we react to situations, in how we behave in certain situations. We're called to build relationship with people. We're called to be the salt of the earth. We're called to be the light of the world. And God calls each one of us to be involved actively. He calls us to be involved prayerfully. He calls us to be involved sacrificially, as we give our time and our energy and our money. And you may not be pleased to know, but he does often call us to be out of our comfort zone. So a little bit of me would like to say, if you're sitting comfortably with where you think God has got you at the moment, perhaps he wants you to be doing something a bit more or a bit differently. Because if we're comfortable, it might be like we're on that leisure liner instead of being on a warship. And this is a battle that we're called to as we share the good news. Perhaps God's put a passion in your heart. Perhaps he's put an idea into your mind. Perhaps we note a comment from a friend or a neighbour. Perhaps for a group of people, or for an activity, or for a place. If this is a nudge from God, then we need to explore it. We need to follow it through, and we need to trust God that this is from him, and he wants us to take it further. God does call us into places where there are not many Christians. That's the whole idea of being able to take the good news. So it may be the gym that you've been called to. It may be a book group. It may be a social media group. Whatever it is, wherever it is, do it. Because God has promised to call you and God has promised to equip you. As a deanery, we know, we believe that God is calling us to grow in number, to grow in the number of people that we have contact with, in the number of people who are exploring faith, in the number of people who put their trust in Jesus, and in the number of worshipping communities. And we're called to be part of that. And that is the Great Commission working in Ipswich at this time. It's exciting. It's scary. And lots of people are going to be out of their comfort zone. But we do have a God who we trust and who will equip us. This next picture, I wonder if people know what that represents. How many of you can remember, if we think back a year or so, what that represents? Or if you weren't here a year or so ago, that I'll let you off that, and that's fine. Anybody going to tell me what that represents? Front lines, thank you very much. Excellent. This is our front line. So a while back, we did this series, Life on the Front Line. It was a course, the London Institute for Contemporary Christianity. And the people in red are Christians. Not maybe typical, maybe not. But if you see where the people in red are in their daily life, they are positioned with people, the little grey dots, are people who are not Christians yet. And so you can see that we are in contact daily with people who are not Christians. And that is what we were discovering when we did this course. We were discovering our front line, the place that God has called us to during the week. You know, Monday till Saturday is not a time when we're not a Christian. We're still a Christian and we're still working. And that is where we spend most of our time, our front line. And that is where we spend most of the time with people who are not yet Christian. And we have a great responsibility and we have amazing possibilities to share about God's love for each person. Our front line is a great place to work out this great commission that God has given to each one of us. And I'm going to suggest that either after the cricket or after the tennis or somewhere in between today, that you just take some time to revisit your front line, either discovering where it is, if you weren't here when we did it, that's fine, or reminding yourself of where you felt your front line was, and just working out how you are living out this great commission on your front line, how you're managing to put it into practice. And it may be that your front line that you discovered a year or so ago has changed, and that's fine. It may be that you need to listen to God's voice if he's calling you to a new front line. God is an amazing God. He calls us, he equips us. He calls us and he equips us. He will not call us without equipping us, and we can trust him. So these words at the end of Matthew's Gospel launches God's wider mission to all people, to all nations, and we are all called to be part of it. God calls us, we need to listen, we need to be obedient, and he equips us. And those verses that we're using from Acts, where the Holy Habits is based, it says, Acts 2:47, it says, day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. That needs to be our prayer. And if we're obedient, that will be a reality. And how exciting to be part of God's plan. Let's pray. Father, we do indeed thank you and praise you that you have called us to be part of your plan, your mission, in this world at this time. Father, help us to hear your voice. Help us to be willing to be obedient, knowing that you equip each one of us for all that you've called us to. And Lord, as we trust you more and more, may we see more and more people coming to know you and trusting you for themselves. May your glory be seen through each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.